The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
David, good morning. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.
Morning, friend. How are you?
Good. We got you on. Got you loud and clear. Thanks for being here.
Yep. No worries. Sorry, I'm on a landline, so I don't know if it sounds as
it sounds
as normally
fine.
Does, but you're having good. A little technical difficulty, but hey, we're all good.
That's it. First world problems. May this be the worst thing that happens for the rest of the month. Well, how about the rest of the, I don't know, year? Because we're close to the end of the month.
There we go. Almost there. That's what I just
screaming by. I presume it was crazy in Charlotte as it was here. For the first day of spring, we had like 27-degree weather. It's going to be a beautiful day, I guess, today. Yesterday was awesome here. We got nasty rainstorms this morning, but all good. That doesn't keep us from talking about home improvement, and the best way to do that is to call us at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Y'all were a little sleepy last week. I don't know. We had some good calls. Calls we get are always awesome, but we just seemed a little light last week. So give us a call. Jump in. Make us work. Make us earn our keep. We'll talk about whatever is appropriate. So, David, one quick sidebar that just like when I said whatever's appropriate, something popped in my head. So, you know, a couple friends and I have started another radio show. It's been about 18 months. Actually, first conversation is coming on 2 years now, planning this thing out. It's out of Atlanta, a little local station. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. But we had a chance to interview this group on Thursday, and a group called Cianacolo started in Italy in the late 70s, early 80s. The gentleman we spoke with joined this program in the early 80s. He's a drug addict, a recovering drug addict. He's my age, so he's been clean a long time. But I was totally blown away by two young ladies who we interviewed. And if you want to just go get a lift, like feel like, holy cow, anything is possible. If you're having kind of a garbage day. Or if somebody in your life is struggling with those things, hopereborn.org. I was blown away. The lady next to me, our co-host, Craig and I took over because she was just like a bawling mess. She was just like, I made a Kleenex. It was powerful. So I just offered that as like, you know, the best, most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. This would be on that order. Got nothing to do. There's no send donations. Just go get a charge, man. It was amazing. All right, back to business. David, I thought this week, we had so much last week on the decks, and I think we just kind of like did right over the top on a lot of things, and that's fine. We had a great resource in the deck brochure. I want to talk a little bit about that, David, and spend a minute on two deck specific things, and then we'll go wherever it needs to go. One of them is just on railings. We didn't spend a lot of time on railings last week, and that can be, we spoke a lot about connecting the deck correctly to an existing structure or coming up with a design that, you know, renders that a moot point. But the second another huge safety challenge can be poor planning or poor fastening or poor design in the deck posts and deck rails and stuff like that. So I want to spend just a minute on that. We'll take some basic information from that deck brochure, but all of it is stuff that we can relay on the air without great difficulty. And then, David, I want to take a minute on the preserving the deck, taking care of it once it's there. A little less with composite decks. Well, a lot less with composite decks. But the biggest, another frequent mistake is, hey, I put treated lumber on my deck. That's it. It's down. Move on to the next thing. Never think about it again. Never do anything to it again. And that would not be a good plan. So we'll talk about a little bit about that. We'll talk about some cool ways to cheat a little bit, if you will, if you got to kind of spruce up the deck without spending a ton of money. And then I found a couple just cool products in my foraging through the different trade pubs that I get. And we'll share a couple of those things with you. Let's see. That's it. And then we got a cool product of the week from the Home Depot. And it's kind of in keeping with our deck theory. And I don't know. That's it. After that, we'll tell dad jokes. We won't. Although I do know why you can't hear a pterodactyl going to the bathroom.
Why is that?
Because the pee is silent. And that went out on the air.
And you wonder why people don't call.
Well, they should call to get rid of this. Say, stop talking like that and let us talk. All right, we gotta take a break here in about 20 seconds, but give us a call. We are 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk about home improvement. We'll talk about questions that you have. We'll talk about anything relative to taking care of the most important investment, physical investment you have, and that's your home. And we'll do all of that when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We have lines open. Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We want to talk about what's important to you. We're sort of nothing. We are taking the theme, the content of last week and bringing it into this week just because there's so much to talk about. And it's perfect time of year. It's deck building time. And we want to talk about things that will help you do your own deck. Ask the right questions. If you have a professional doing your deck for you, make sure that the inspections that you get all go the way you want them to go. And nobody gets, you know, red tagged or has to, you know, tear things out and redo things and so on. So stay with us. 704-570-1110. David, I have a quick question for you. I have two like big topics. One is around preserving the decks, deck preservatives, right preparation if you're going to seal or stain a deck that's already got something on it, or going with handrails and some more structural things first. What do you think is best?
I'm sorry, what for the rails?
Yeah, rails or preservatives first. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, talking right now about decks. We'll talk about what's important to you. And before we dive right back into everything, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. And it's in keeping with our deck concept, outdoor living concept, if you will. It's a product that's manufactured by Stylewell. It's Parker Mill Black 4-Piece Metal Patio Seating. It's a set for on the patio, on the deck, whatever your outdoor scenario is. I like it because it's made of steel, so it's super durable, but it doesn't look like industrial or institutional. Doesn't look as like stout or I don't know, industrial, I guess is a terrible term, but that's how I think about it. And it comes with cushions. The cushions have an olefin fabric, which means you get dew on them or rain on them, they dry out very quickly. Looks nice, not going to break the bank. That's our Home Depot product of the week. Parker Mill Black 4-Piece Metal Patio Set with Midnight Cushions. I think that means black. All right, 704-570-1110. Let's talk home improvement. David, we're on the topic of decks and deck finishes that you can put on a deck. And traditionally, when you and I grew up in the thing, or when we were growing up in the business, and we spoke about products that you could put on that were going to give that weren't just a clear preservative, but something that had color in it. The cardinal rule was never put a solid stain on the horizontal walking surface, because it would just wear off, right?
Correct.
You would just see the path that was most frequently used, and you would never. It would look pretty ugly pretty quick. Not so anymore, right?
No, they've gone a long way with this stuff, and the solid color stains are a great choice. Last week, I think we had a call towards the end of the show about using the like a deck over or some type of restorer, and that's kind of what you get. It has a little bit of a texture in it, but you get a solid color. But if the deck is dry and it's there's not another finish on it, that stuff wears like iron. And I'm not sure about the Bear product from, you know, 1 or 2, 3 years, you know, in between when you stain that, depending on what kind of sun exposure you get or the wear that it gets. But I know that Cabot's stain, their solid color stain, you just wash the deck, and I think you can go right back over top of it without stripping it.
I should look at the Bare piece of it. I pulled some stuff up to talk about the cleaners, because my so let's just take that as what it is. So yes, the Cabot you can go straight over with the next batch of Cabot product, correct?
As far as I know, that's what I've read on the label, and it works pretty well. So that was my choice, but that was the other point that I was making, that if your deck is older and it's in kind of rough shape, that will hide a lot of sin. Now, if the deck is in real, real bad shape, I don't know if you want to spend the money on it, unless you just have to, but it'll buy you some time. That's for sure.
It's a great, we're going to talk about that in a minute also. But I think people would paint, folks would choose to paint a deck versus because they couldn't use a solid stain, but they wanted that solid color for any of a number of reasons, from aesthetics to, hey, I just don't want to see the knots and different things in the wood, as prevalent. And then you created the issue of maintaining paint on a wooden surface, which is a lot of work, right? It can be done. It's done all day, every day, but it's just a lot of work. And all day, every day could be an important time metric. With the ability to put a solid stain on there, you get the solid color, you get the decor that you're looking for, and you don't have to worry about it wearing away. There's that, right? Then we talked about when to apply it, but you brought up a really important point what's the deck prep surface need, or the surface prep need to look like? What do you got to do if you've got stain of some sort already on the surface, or if you've put a solid product on there that's peeling? You can't just go over that with the next product. Well, you could, but it won't be a good result, right?
Right.
And one of the things that I do like about the Bare products, they have two products for the cleaning and prep that are very easy to use and are very effective. And we'll talk about those. I know we're going to be right up against a break here in about 1 minute. So let's just talk this point, and then we'll take a deep dive into some of the specifics of it. But the number one thing now is, pick a stain from a quality manufacturer, knowing that you have options for either semi-transparent or solid. Semi-transparent allows you to see the wood grain, see the knots, see the different, the kind of the natural elements of the wood that are very attractive. And you can go with a lighter color semi-transparent stain and really kind of get some really nice accents, or you can go solid and cover those, the grain and so on up, and achieve more of a consistent decor that might be more aligned with what you want to do. How you get it on there, and which types of stain you use we'll tackle when we come back from this break. So give us a call if you've got another topic to talk about or question on this one. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. And we'll talk more about a home improvement and specifically decks and deck staining when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
We're talking about deck staining, deck preservatives. We went over semi-transparent versus solid. We'll recap some of this again in the second hour just to make sure folks joining us get all the information. But David, we talked about the ability to use a solid stain now. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's in paint, people always ask the question, well, should I use an oil-based paint or a latex-based paint? And with the deck products, I think there's a mixture of both. There are solvent-based solutions and latex-based solutions. My sense is, though, that as with paint, you choose the one that's going to perform the best and look the best for you. Because we wouldn't say, hey, in this scenario, an oil base is more desirable or a solvent base is more desirable than a latex base. Is that true, or do you think you're better off using a solvent base in some scenarios?
Well, I think for ease of use and cleaning and all that, the latex products are certainly better. Mm-hmm. And I mean, really, they've come so far now that, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I would have said, you know, solvent based, oil or water based, I think is your best bet.
And it's easier to clean up, and any of a number of benefits there, and they're going to perform comparably well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dive into to prep. Then talking about what you have to do to be ready for a new coating on an existing surface that has been already coated or something's been put on it. I don't know what your preferences are, David. I know people probably think that I own stock in Behr. I do not. I just like talking about stuff that I don't have to worry about it when somebody uses it, or if something ever goes wrong, they stand behind the product, right?
Right.
But the two products that I think that I like are if you've got something on there already and it's peeling, or it's definitely, you know, the surface is coated with the product, an easy to use, it's called Wood Stain and Finish Stripper. And it used to have a number associated with it. I think the marketing people got a hold of it and said, hey, numbers really don't help people. And so it's Wood Stain and Finish Stripper, and it truly is a stripper. You wet the wood, you apply the stripper with a spray, you know, a pump sprayer, let it sit, I think, about 15 minutes, brush it off aggressively, rinse it off thoroughly, and it takes all of the, it is very effective. I think, David, you've used this stuff before, right, and given it good marks?
Yeah, that's when I was involved doing it, that's exactly what we used, and it is, it's a good product. You have to maintain it a wet, you have to keep it misted.
Right.
It's not something that you want to try to apply on a hot, sunny day. It's better to be in the shade or overcast day. And if the wind's blowing a lot, that's a problem too, because it you have to keep misting it, because in order for it to work and be activated, it has to be kept
wet
or damp. You don't want to flood it, but you want to just barely mist it. And the longer that you can do that, the easier the old finish will come off. And I have had occasion, John, where it's really been a good finish, and it takes two times to get it off. But if you're spending $50-$60 a gallon for sealer, and it says that you have to remove all old finishes, you probably better do it.
Absolutely. It's a headache you don't want to have to deal with down the road. In fact, when we've encountered problems with stains, exterior stains, well, sometimes interior stains, but exterior stains specifically at this point, it's because the stain couldn't penetrate and cure correctly, and it just stayed on top and stayed sticky or other problems. And it's just, it's not worth the, it's not cheap anymore to put these kinds of products on a deck. So you want to prep it correctly. If you use that stain and stripper, you need to neutralize it before you put the next coat on it. So let's just talk about that. There's a second product called All-in-One Cleaner that neutralizes the caustic, careful how I use that term, I guess, but the aggressive chemicals that take the original surface off. So you want to do that again, super easy, follow the same instructions, right? Just it's damp. You spray it on with sprayer, let it sit 15 minutes, brush it, rinse it, and it neutralizes it. And you're now ready to put your new stain or preservative on. Or if you've got a deck surface that doesn't have peeling or checking or old coatings on it, and you just want to clean it, like it's grayed out on you and you want to clean it to be ready for your coat of either semi-transparent or solid stain, then that second product, All-in-One Wood Cleaner, is ideal. It'll do the cleaning that you need it to do and be ready for that for that new surface.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think the other thing that right now, when we chose this subject to talk about in the month of pollen. This is a good time to clean the deck and strip the deck. If you can pick a day coming up that's overcast, you know, or even if it's just misting rain, is not a bad time to clean. I know it sounds silly to be out in the rain doing it, but it works pretty well when you do it like that. But you probably want to wait to apply your finish until the pollen has finished falling, or you'll have a textured finish with a light yellow green tint.
Non-skid. Yeah, not good. And that reminds me of just one other piece of good information I think we'd share, and maybe I should have made that our product of the week. It's super simple. But if you're going to have to maintain a deck more than once, and this includes if you have a composite deck and you got to get the pollen off, because composite decks are not pollen proof. A surface cleaner for your pressure washer. So a circular surface cleaner. You can get an inexpensive one that's going to be awesome. Chris, our son, you know, he does everything on steroids. Well, he does some professional stuff with that also. Bought the big $900 thing that ties your shoes when you're done. But having a surface cleaner does a couple things. Number one, it gets a bigger area at one time, so it's much faster. And it also prevents, what do we call it, zebraing or striping, where it's hard for you to keep the nozzle, the tip of the pressure washer, at the same distance consistently. And so it helps with that. You can get a little rolling device that you attach to your wand, and that keeps it equally distant all along, but it still covers a much smaller swath of surface. The surface cleaner is a very respectable investment, not a lot of money, and super 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 good as far as the positive results you get from it. So that's just a sidebar. Since we're spending your money.
Well, if you buy the bigger units out there that are available, they're nice, and you can make time, but you have to have a pressure washer large enough to be able to drive it.
You're right.
Depending on the jet size and how many tips are underneath it and all of that, because essentially all it is an arm that's swinging around with two tips on it, but it requires more than a small pressure washer to drive it and to be able to actually
clean the
surface, right?
Yeah, it's a really good point, because it's going to require extra PSI and extra gallons per minute. and you do want to look at the specs and what the requirements are in that, which is why I think the little Ryobi or DeWalt surface cleaner that, you know, that isn't super high tech is really a great solution, because it's right. going to function on most of your, I don't know how it does on like the small little portable electric ones, like from Karcher and those, but on any gas powered, reasonable gas powered unit, it's probably going to be, it'll drive just fine.
Yep.
All right.
Absolutely.
We are like 50 seconds away from a break here, so we're going to go ahead and take it. We've been talking about deck coatings and how to prep for the deck and so on. We're going to dive into handrails and some safety, and then some really cool products that are totally unrelated to decking, but just cool products. We're going to do that when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. So if you got a different question, call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll talk about that with you. Otherwise, grab a cup of coffee and come back, because we're going to come back to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave right after these messages.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're talking home improvement at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Just a little teaser, next week, April 1st, we will have our friends from DryPro with us. So we're going to take a deep dive into the crawl space and some other cool things that DryPro does. So get your questions ready for that. Right now, we're going to talk to Bob. Bob, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Hi, good morning, guys. Doing okay.
Great. How can we help?
Well, it's a deck-related thing.
Okay.
We have a two-level deck, if it makes any difference. It's both levels have been in place for a long time. One level is close to the earth. The other one is up to match in an exterior door at the house.
Okay.
They've gone through a normal number of cleanings and stainings over the decades, and these guys are 30 years old.
Okay.
We're looking into alternatives to get a few more years out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we've looked into a couple of the regular choices. And then somebody gave us what we consider to be an outside-the-box question and thought the other day, and I wanted to run it by you.
Sure.
The thought was, hey, why don't you just take all those old boards if they are and pressure-treat it all the way around?
Mm-hmm.
If they're in decent shape, and just flip them upside
yeah.
down, because the opposite side is probably in good shape and could be cleaned nicely and stained or whatever you want to do with it. And that's the question. Is that lunacy or
no? So actually,
what kind of risk is associated with that approach?
It's like you snuck a peek at my notes here, Bob, because now this is not a reflection on you or your friend, but I wrote in my little notes some cheap ways to do it, or cheap ways to do it. And one of them would be to take those boards up and flip them over. Now, there's a couple things that you want to consider. Number one, how are the boards fastened? If they're just screwed down from the surface, then that's a pretty easy fix. If they're nailed down from the surface, it feels like it could be easy fix, but sometimes that can be problematic and tearing up. You got to be careful how you get the nails out, right? Because if you just pull them up with a crowbar, you're going to pull them through the surface that you want to put on top, you know, next go round, and then that's going to be a problem. So a nail down, while nails are easier to pull than screws, may or may not be, you have to be a little bit more careful with nails. And then if there's a hidden fastener used where there's, you know, they're fastened to the deck from the edge down, those are probably pretty easy to deal with also, because you've got no penetrations on either surface. And once you get the first course, loose, it's very easy, albeit time-consuming, although all three of the versions are going to be time-consuming. So it's the actual work of getting it up that is a challenge. The only thing from a purist perspective that could be a problem with that scenario is if your deck was installed correctly, when they put the deck boards on top of the deck, they'll look at the edge of the board, not the long edge, the short edge of the board, and typically there'll be annular rings, so the growth rings of the wood. If they did it correctly, they would have put the annular rings down, they put the boards down in such a way that the annular rings form an arch with the crown on top of each board. They do that because David and I were talking at the head of the show that wood is going to do what wood does, especially if it's unstable, and it's going to cup. And it's going to cup in the direction of the annular rings. And so by putting them down, it means the top surface is always the highest surface, and you won't get those ridges that come when a deck board cups. If you flip them over and have the annular rings the other way, and you have any kind of moisture issues, you could get some issues with cupping. David, your opinion, I think if that's the route you choose to go, that's probably the least of your concerns. What do you think?
Well, I've stripped a lot of decks off in my day, and I tell you that it's great in theory, but most of the time the fasteners are so corroded that, you know, you can't get screws. It's hard to get the screws out. Even today with the newer wood, it's
coated
so much
ones,
salt in it. Even the ceramic coated screws tend to corrode. So you have to deal with that, trying to get those out. I just think if you end up going that far, you're better off just to take the boards off and be done with them and install new boards. Cause if you're doing it yourself, I mean, it's a lot of labor. I mean, if you're going to pay someone, obviously you'd certainly want to replace the boards, but, I think you'd have to get out there and test it and see how much of it you can actually pull off of the deck and salvage.
I think that's good advice, Bob, because it's the labor piece of it. There's one other thing that you may want to consider that I put down in this. Hey, what's a less expensive way, less aggressive way to deal with it with an existing deck that's structurally solid but might not look as good. There's a lot of products out there that fall under the moniker deck over. They're typically a thicker product, and they cover over the wood that's unsightly and give you a nice uniform surface. I'm not a big fan as a general rule. If you're going to use one, I would use the one that has, I think, a trademark name, deck over. And again, people are going to think my father owns Bear or something like that. He doesn't, but Bear's deck over product is the best of the solutions out there, simply because it doesn't cake up the way some of the other products do. And when you're done with it, it doesn't look as fake as this is John's opinion, right? So it's worth everything you paid for it, Bob. But I think if you wanted to say, hey, let me go online and take a look at that and see how there's some surface preparation required for that, Bob. But again, it would be less problematic than maybe picking up those boards, and certainly less expensive than replacing all of them. You may want to take a peek at that and see what you think.
Yeah, I've done a little research on that, and I got nervous about a couple of products because some of the reviews are really uncomplimentary, to say the least. But you're saying that the recent experience is pretty good with it.
So go look at the Bear. You can go to HomeDepot.com and just type in Bear Deck Over, BEHR Deck Over, and look at it. And you'll see pretty quickly that it's different from many of the other ones that don't get complimentary reviews, because they're really hard to work with. And David, I think you may even have tried some of this stuff before. It starts to dry on you, and then you get just terrible surface results. They're difficult, and then sometimes it'll fill up the gap between the deck boards. Sometimes it won't. Now you got to deal with that. And I don't know. I'm not a fan, as a general rule, whether it's Bear Deck Over or other products. But if you think that that's a solution, then I really like how the bear goes down and how it looks when it's done versus some of the other thicker that are almost like, I don't know, putting
molasses like
or a stucco finish over masonry. It kind of goes on. Well, I shouldn't say that, terrible analogy, but we agree with the feedback that you're seeing on some of the products, because great concept. It's just when you go to do it, it the end result is frequently less than what people expect it to be.
Yeah. I want to get back to the early part of the discussion just to make sure I got the right message on flipping the boards. Ours are nailed in place.
And okay.
A lot of the nails have, you know, keep popping up, right? That's what happens with nails and wood. I understood you to say that while it sounds like it could be a good idea, the nails are especially problematic because it's labor-intensive, first of all, because there are railings on the upper deck as well.
Right.
But also you risk sort of obliterating the wood as you're trying to get the thing up, right?
And remember, when they shot that nail through that wood or drove it through, it blows out the other side as well. So it tends to be splintered on the other side.
Yeah, good point.
Okay. Hey, Bob, do me a favor. We've got to take a break. I ran us way past the break. We're going to go ahead and take a break. If you still got some questions, don't go away. Stay on hold, and we'll come back. Otherwise, we'll say carry on. Let us know what goes. Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we've got lines open. Got Bob squared away. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about questions that you might have. We're on the topic of decks. Bob took us to a topic that I had kind of tucked away in the notes, David, just to say, I called it in my terminology cheating. It's not cheating. It's just different options. One of them was flipping the deck boards. But I think you pointed out, and many folks have given us feedback that said, yeah, I tried that, and boy, it was a headache, but I got it done. Or, yeah, I tried that, and it doesn't look any better. Or just I gave up, you know, three boards in. Because if you got 16-foot deck boards or 12-foot deck boards, pulling those nails and doing that, if you've ever done demolition that way, it's some work. And to your point, if they use a power nailer to drive nails in the deck, then you probably have some blowout on the back of the board that's going to be
unsightly. A thinner, it's a smaller diameter nail too. So usually when you try to put any type of a pry bar or anything on it to pull the nail, it pulls the head of the nail off. And now you're stuck with the task of trying to stick something underneath it and wedge it underneath there and get leverage and pry it up. Well, when you do that,
now you're
digging into the wood.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get that board off of there, it's not necessarily something that you want to use. You know, now if you have if you can get all the fasteners out of it and you have a planer.
Here we go.
Here you go. So, it can be done. We're not saying it can't be done. It's just, I think for the amount of effort and what the final product looks like, you're better off, as you said, John, to go ahead and try to apply something on top of it just to get it done. And, you know, there's another option for that, too. You could, if the gaps aren't too big, you could always just get a piece of indoor-outdoor carpet.
So funny you say that. I had a repair at one of the properties that we flipped up in Wilmington, the Hampstead property. We had an outdoor deck. Part of it was covered, but it was outside. And I had to do repairs on it. And I'm like, this is still so structurally great now, but it looks terrible. And I couldn't come up with a suitable solution. So I put a treated plywood down. Sealed it and then put a nice indoor-outdoor carpet over the top of it. Looked like a thousand. Looked great. It was awesome.
Yeah,
it'll be easier to keep clean. Yeah,
and it's semi-permanent. You know, I guess the problem becomes that you start to trap moisture and eventually there's going to be an issue underneath there, but it'll certainly buy you some time, and it's cheaper. It's cheaper to do that than it is to strip one all the way down. And, you know, a lot of times we strip the deck down and then you get into the framing of the deck and you find out it's not a whole lot better than the deck boards because moisture's been trapped underneath there for years. And so it can be soft or, you know, it's twisted or it's warped or it's bowed. So, you know, one thing leads to another, right?
It's classic. I mean, it's classic remodeling. A deck remodel is no different than any other remodel. You're going to find stuff underneath that you just didn't anticipate. And then you got to make a decision. Do I want to deal with it or do I want to just, you know, as we say at the Gordon House, take it down to the studs.
Right.
So great advice. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of options, and you don't have to be, you know, you do what makes sense for you. And if you're not sure, send us a note at questions@askjohnanddave.com, and David will tell you what he thinks. So I think that's good advice.
Well, and I'll tell you another a quick story. We had a deck one time that was up off of the ground about 4 or 5 feet. So we were going to try to turn the boards over, and we were having no luck trying to pull them off. So we used a 20-ton jack and a 4x4 and got underneath the board and tried to pop them off. Well, of course, they came off in some places. In other places, it was trying to pull the deck out of the ground.
That takes us to another topic that we actually touched on last week, which made me indicate some other issues structurally.
Right.
Or certainly would create some other issues structurally.
So there really is no easy way.
All right. So, yeah. So I think it all goes back to the very first conversation or the very first points that we were making, that it is a major mistake, and it's not people being, you know, negligent or careless. It's just like it's a misunderstanding that if you put a treated wooden deck in place, that it's like once and done. It's there, never worry about it again. If you lose your mind occasionally, that's a terrible choice of words. If you really invest and get nervous and do the right things from the very beginning about preserving the deck, then all of these things down the road become less of an issue. Would Bob's right. issue still come to pass? He said it's 30 years old. It sounds to me like he's probably taken pretty good care of that deck.
Well,
or it
yeah.
would have been a much different scenario 30 years down the road.
Everything has a life expectancy.
Yeah.
So. Just the way it is.
It is. Everything has an expiration date, including us. All right. We're gonna be a little less than a minute away from a break. So coming back, I'd like to talk about handrails. We'll dive a little bit back into code, at least for Mecklenburg County. And we'll dive into whatever your questions might be if you call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We respect that we're firing a whole bunch of information out here. So if you got additional questions or you want clarifications, shoot us a note at askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button or questions@askjohnanddave.com, and we can get your email and get you some additional information or additional details as we need to then. Get your coffee ready, get your questions ready, and dial us up 704-570-1110. We'll talk when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110, talking decking. We're going to get into handrails and some things like that, maybe recap a couple things from the first hour. But first, we want to do our Home Depot product of the week. This week, it's keeping with our outdoor living kind of deck concept, and it's a Parker Mill black four-piece metal patio seating set with cushions. I like it for a couple reasons. Number one, it's made of metal. It's going to hold up. You can clean it, pressure wash it, not have to worry about it. But it doesn't look all institutional or like industrial. It's very attractive. Comes with cushions, and the cushions have an olefin fabric. What does that mean? It means like when there's dew out there or if there's rain out there, it wicks moisture away and the fabric dries very quickly, which means A, comfort, and B, less mildew. All right, that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. Parker Mill Black 4-Piece Metal Patio Seating Set with Midnight Cushions. It looks pretty slick. Check it out. You can see it at HomeDepot.com. All right, David, we're talking about all kinds of stuff, but we've stayed really a lot on deck this morning. I have a couple cool cool products that we can share them another week if we don't have time this week. But I wanted to get, last week we spent a lot of time talking just about code aspects, if you will, of the of building a deck. And there's a lot there, and the brochure that you shared is super helpful. I wanted to take a minute to talk about railings, if I could, because there's two aspects of railings that a lot of folks may or may not consider. Number one is there's some really strict guidelines that are important to safety. If you get the undercarriage and everything correct with a deck, but fail to do the right thing from a handrail perspective, somebody can be, you know, a few feet in the air or a full story in the air, and a handrail fails, the end result is not good. So it's a thing that people can look past or say, okay, I got that fastened with some screws, and it ultimately is not good. So David, when you're doing a deck, gotta go. It's not like two stories off the ground. It's you're fundamentally, you know, a few inches, a few feet above the ground. Do you run your deck posts all the way through from a footer all the way up through the deck surface and make it integral? Or do you typically use another, like a 4x4 and block it out and fasten it? Which preference do you
have? Normally when we were building decks, we would the rails would be, the rail posts would be independent of the posts that are holding the deck, just because of the way the deck is built normally. But our 4x4s would be blocked and they would be bolted. You used to be you could notch a 4x4 out and fasten it to the deck. You're not allowed to do that anymore. It has to be a full 3.5 by 3.5 inches, and then it has to be through bolted into the band of the deck or to a joist and some blocking that's fastened tightly. And you know, we quit using wood rails and went to, you know, all vinyl and right. aluminum rails. Or I've even done a lot of decks with a wrought iron look. So of course you can buy, there's several manufacturers out there, but steel or aluminum powder coated rails where you're actually bolting the post down directly to the band, and then you put your rails in between. So there's several methods, but if you use a 4x4 and you're using wood, that's still the best way. Is to, you want to through bolt it in as a whole, the 4x4 to the deck. It's much stronger.
I think it's a really simple principle of like simple machine or physics. When you have that rail coming out of the ground, the folks are likely to lean against it at the top, and it's like a lever in fulcrum, right? So whatever pressure, whatever force you're applying there is multiplied at the base, and so it's easy to strip it away. And so when you talk about blocking it, you're fundamentally saying, hey, between the joists, you sandwich the deck post between the joists. You run a block between the joists, and then that block hits up against the deck post, and then the ring joist is against the deck post. So fundamentally, your post is sandwiched, to use a technical building term, between the blocking that you put in there and the ring joist. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. And you know, if people are going to build a deck, there's all types of examples of that out there on the internet, and you can see pictures. And you know, even a lot of the manufacturers, if you're doing some type of a post sleeve, mm-hmm. they'll have, if you go to their website, there'll be some type of direction and pictures that'll show you what that means. And then, of course, it's, you know, every deck is a little bit different, and you know, you just sometimes you have to improvise. But bolting it is the best way. It's the strongest way. It's the safest way.
Okay. We've got a caller, Alan, on line one, but we're right up against the break. So, Alan, if you don't mind, we're going to take a quick break. It's not a long one. We'll go ahead and take that break, and then we'll come back and make sure that we answer your question, because I don't want to rush in and rush out and leave you hanging. Alan, don't go away. Others, if you got a question, we're at 704-570-1110. We'll take our quick break and then be back to answer questions for Alan and others when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're going to jump on the phone with Alan. Alan, thanks for waiting through the break. How are you this morning?
Oh, okay, sir.
How can we help?
I'm replacing a couple of 4x4s in my porch.
Mm-hmm.
How do I keep them from bowing when I buy new ones? I bought two and they both bowed on me.
Yeah, great question. We talked about it early on. There's nothing, Alan, that guarantees that's not going to happen just because it's a waterborne treatment. And as the water exits, the wood's going to kind of do what it does. There's a couple solutions. One solution would be when you purchase the 4x4 to treat it with a product called Cedar Shield. There's another one out there called Seasonite. But fundamentally, probably, I think the most one of the more popular ones is the Cedar Shield. And it's a product that you paint onto the wood and then you let it sit for 72 hours. And what it does is it, in a controlled or a more controlled fashion, displaces the water in the wood so that you don't get the quick drying and then the warping. The warping is just the wood following its grain, right? So as water exits, the grain is coarser or stronger than the other fibers in the wood, and so it will pull the wood in the direction of the grain.
Is there any place that sells kiln dry?
Yes, so that's number two is a place that I say Cox. There could be others, Alan, but you're looking for dried after treatment wood. David, do you know? Does like the
City Lumber?
So who's it?
Queen City Lumber.
Queen City Lumber would have them, Alan. Okay. And then when you pick it up, you know it's been dried. Right. We would still say get some stabilizer in some sort of place or coat it in some fashion because it's still going to pick up and give off moisture, which means it can warp once it's in place. But dried after treatment takes the major portion of that risk away.
And what was that first one? The shield, wood shield?
Cedar Shield, like wood, like the wood cedar, C-E-D-E-R.
Okay.
You can go to what David is. What's it? The manufacturer.
Cedarside.
It's C E D E R C I D E, like insecticide. Cedarside.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for waiting through the break, Alan. Great question. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So Alan squared away. I mean, great 4x4s. And 6x6s that move on you, just nightmares. All right. Let's see, David, get me back in the game here. We want to go over some. So we talked about the fastening the posts correctly, and you were talking about different products. Like I'm a huge fan of Simpson Strong Tie. They have those engineers are brilliant, right? And they have to spend time in the field just talking to the contractors doing the work, right? Because they're like, okay, this is a pain. All right, try this. It solves the problem. So there's some really innovative stuff out there. At the end of the day, the best a simple solution is the blocking technique that you talked about, and that actually shows up in the deck brochure that you shared. The next piece is just handrail. Spindles or pickets. I think Mecklenburg County says those pickets need to be close enough together that you cannot take a 4-inch sphere and pass it through. In other words, it'll keep a 4-inch, a sphere 4 inches in diameter from passing through. There's a reason for that. And if you think about a small child and the sphere, roughly the oblate spheroid, whatever that is, their head, that's what you're trying to keep from passing through there. Because without getting morbid, issues happen. Kids' head goes through. They panic, can't pull out and either do, you know, serious damage or even strangulation. So it's kind of a serious matter. There's a lot of great products out there. Deck pickets are another thing that if you buy them today and for whatever reason they get loose and you don't install them for like 3 weeks, you're going to find some in there that just get all warped and twisted. So buy them, treat them, install them, or for sure get them installed, you know, screwed top and bottom so that they don't warp on you. But David, talk about some of the other things that you could do for deck rails that are kind of new and innovative, like glass and wire and you know, cable, wrought iron. You've probably tried many of those yourself, yeah? Uh-oh, I might have lost David. All right.
Just one to install is probably a vinyl rail, and they'll have. So what they'll have is you install your 4x4s, and you don't have to. They even have them with an aluminum insert, and then it has a vinyl sleeve that goes over it. So you bolt the aluminum portion down to the deck, and then you obviously you want to try to get into the outside band board through your deck board. But then you put a vinyl sleeve over it, you put a cap on it, and then you cut your rails and put those in between. And that's a nice rail. It gives you kind of a two-tone look because you can get some different colors. They have white and black and kind of the sand beigey colors. And you have a pretty low maintenance rail there. They still have to be washed and cleaned just like anything, and that's probably one of the more inexpensive rails. I know Home Depot has the rails back there, and I'm at a loss right now for the brand name, but they stock them in the post sleeves and the caps and all of that. So it's a pretty nice rail. And then of course you could use a wood post, and you can use cables, the stainless steel cables. That's a way that you can put up a rail and not block your view. That's something you see a lot on the lake,
right.
Or any body of water where people want to be able to see through and not be blocked with a bunch of pickets in the way. Of course, glass is another method that you can use. It starts getting a little pricey when you get to that. And then another one that I've done, I said that earlier, John, was the metal, either aluminum or a powder-coated steel rail, kind of like a wrought iron look. And, you know, you usually see that on a front porch, brick. Normally you'll see that along with brick. And it's at the entrance of a house and how people have, so they have something to keep them from falling off of the landing or rails that get you up the stairs. But you can use those on a wood deck as well. And I've done it both ways, where I've installed it, purchased the products, installed it, but I've also used my friends over at Ornamental Specialties and had him come out, and they measure, they make the railings in their shop, and they're painted, and then they bring them out, and they install them on site. And so the posts get bolted down, but they weld the rails into the post. So it's all basically one piece when it's done, and it's a pretty nice rail, and it's not as expensive as people think it is.
It's a pretty nice
alternative.
Yeah, it really is sharp. It gets you a kind of, I call it crisper finish than or effect versus the bulkier pickets, which are great. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But
yeah,
I just think
it's a thinner look.
Yeah.
It's not as a heavy a look, and you know, and if you don't want the focus to be on the rails, you kind of achieve that with that type of railing, and you know, it's not that it disappears, but it's just less rail, I think is
exactly
is the answer. Yeah. And like I said, it's not as expensive as you think it is. It's really right in line with everything else that you buy, because that's one of the things that gets overlooked is when we get to the rail, obviously the cheapest thing you can do is build it out of wood. And if you have the skills and you know how to do it, but taking care of that rail with those thinner pieces of wood over the long haul become a problem, and then of course you get splinters and everything else if you're hanging on to them, especially on the stair rails.
Yeah. So it's there's a lot of good options, and man, I'm gonna say the P word, Pinterest. I hate when Barb gets on Pinterest, but but there are some really cool things out there, or just check out the different. What do you call it? Trade publications. They're usually talking about some cool products, and you see some really great images. And then also be creative. If you or someone in your family is kind of innovative, I mean, check it out. If you're not sure structurally, shoot us a note, and we'll talk about that.
And I think, and I know we got to get ready to go.
That's all right.
Just remember, if you're 30 inches off of the ground or three steps, you have to have a rail.
Right. Good point. All right, that does take us to the end of another 2 hours. Folks, we genuinely appreciate your listening. Thanks for the great questions. We love taking care of this kind of business every Saturday morning. And every Saturday morning, we like to take care of the business where we talk about reminding you of what we think is the most important kind of home improvement. And we think the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.